This is Tristan Beeman of the Wine Exchange in Santa Ana. You're listening to a spectacular vintage year in food news, the SoCal Restaurant Show. Cheers.
And welcome back. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels baseball. And the Halos are home tonight, playing the Seattle Mariners and hoping to even up the series, as we do too. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show, and we're proudly presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. We're picking up our conversation with Chef George Geary, who is also an author, a food historian, a cooking instructor, and many other wonderful things. His latest is Made in California, the California-born burger joints, diners, fast food, and restaurants that changed America. Wonderful coffee table cookbook, wonderful idea for the holidays, particularly for foodies that are interested in the history and development of many huge names in the food business that started in California, and a lot of them in Southern California. And it's a pleasure to welcome George back to the show. George, thanks for hanging in there.
Oh, sure.
Hey, let's talk food. You have a particular fondness, as a lot of us do, for Lowry's the Prime Rib. A lot of people don't know that it all started with a potato chip. So kind of give us the backstory there, George, because that's a good one.
Oh, well, see, I've got two of the Lowry's companies in the new book, and it started downtown Los Angeles in a it was called Saratoga Chips, and it was one of the very first chains that started in 1915, and so a good amount of time, and then it turned into Vandekamp's Bakeries. And I mentioned in the book that you'll also be able to tell someone's age by if they know what Vandekamp's is. If they think of Vandekamp's only as frozen fish sticks, they were born later. And if they remember Vandekamp products in grocery stores, then they're a little bit older. And you keep going back as far as the windmill cafes that they had. And they had so many around the whole Southland, and it started expanding. And what a great company to work for. Even today, part of the Lowry's company, it's still family-owned. They own the Tam O'Shanter out there in Glendale area, Atwater. And then they've got Lowry's Prime Rib on La Cienega. They've got the Five Crowns out in Orange County. And then they closed right before COVID started. They closed the Chicago location. But they still have Dallas, and they've got some over in Asia and things like that. But the Vandekamp's company, my grandmother and my mom both worked for them back in the day.
And oh, wow.
They looked like these starched hats that they would have to wear. I remember going over to Grandma's house on Sunday, and she'd have her hat that it would be starched to where it was hard as a rock, and then you'd fold it and put it in your hair. And that's when they would wear those beehive hairdos, you know, the ladies.
Sure.
But while researching the book, the people over at Lowry's, they gave me a lot of employee newsletters, and boy, those were fascinating. And it's just hilarious to read. But what a great company. They really took care of their employees. And then the factory, you probably see the backside of it sometimes.
Fletcher
off
Drive.
Of the 2 freeway. Yeah, mm-hmm. Off of 2 freeway. And if you drive to the front, back in when I was in culinary school in L.A., that was one of our field trips to learn about the production part of baking. And it was still a thrill. I still can remember going through that factory and watching the cookies come off of the belts. And most people ask for recipes from that the company. And their historian said, we don't know where any of them are. And what's difficult about a large recipe like that, a company that, like, let's say, Vandekamp's or Wonder Bread or something like that, even the flour that they use is a recipe, and you can't get it. So it's very difficult to reproduce an item. You can come close, but not that close. So,
Well, you know, George, I remember I was a box boy growing up at an upscale supermarket, and we had one of the Vandy Camp's boutiques in the store. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Vandy Camp lady would come in and set everything up, and you know, you go from there. And it was a really, before they started to do a lot of the in-store bakeries that the large, you know, chain supermarkets
right.
have, it was a remarkable quality product for the time. And I don't think it's my imagination, but boy, those chocolate chip cookies they had were just unbelievable.
Full of butter and real butter. It wasn't like, they didn't use off things like a lot of the bakeries do today. And they even did foil chocolate covered bells at Christmas that were red and green. And they did the date loaf bread that was really good. But I thought was interesting is they sold cakes in boxes, like a regular 9-inch round, you could say, 2-layer, but it would be cut in half. So it would be a half a cake if you only wanted a half a cake. And I was a box boy too. So, yep, I remember those places.
Well, no, we did, you know, it was, about a 16th of the store was the Vandy Camp boutique. And, I mean, it was extensive and well-stocked and, you know, very, very popular in its day. You know, I think ultimately there was a labor dispute that ultimately, you know, the family gave up the ghost, which is unfortunate. You know, I think one of the big national commercial bakeries has bought the name. So I think there's still some Vandy Camp's bread that you can find out there. But, you know, it's very commercial and it's nothing like it was. And, you know, people don't know. I mean, in terms of a lasting product from them, the two things that endure, as you mentioned, the frozen fish sticks are pretty good. And then it's a whole separate company now. But, you know, the seasoned salt, of course, from a chef's point of view, you know, that is so widespread in use that that is another legacy that they have.
Right. Yeah, and they had California,
California Center, yes.
Yeah, Center. I want to say Adventure, but that's Disney. But they had the big California Center outside of downtown L.A. It was like a mini Disneyland. It had like 4 or 5 restaurants. It had their packing department for the Lowry's salts and seasonings. And you could go there and have Hispanic, Mexican food or barbecue and all sorts of things with beautiful lawns. But they sold that off years back also. The only thing the family really does still have is the Lowry's prime rib and the Tam O'Shanter and then the Five Crowns.
Yeah, which is not bad. And
no.
It's nice to say that they are enduring. I mean, obviously, COVID affected everyone. But, you know, they have substantial resources and can weather the storm. I mean, they were in that beautiful McCormick Mansion building in Chicago. That was a real shame that they had to close that. But they didn't own the land. And, you know, you can understand what the decision was there. Another wonderful story, or actually one that I will ask you about that's in the book, and we're going to 1966 now in terms of the founding. George, I really loved House of Pies. What's the backstory there, and you know, why did they disappear? And I think you mentioned that they may be coming back, so please share that story with us, if you will.
House of Pies, you can still see a lot of their original buildings, which I think is fascinating with the companies like their Wiener Schnitzel had an A-frame with a red roof. Now some are yellow. You also had IHOP that had a blue roof that was another A-frame. And House of Pies was a little square-looking house. And there's one left over on Vermont in L.A., but they are opening a new one over on the west side. And I think it's on Washington and Lincoln Boulevard around in there, because I drove past it and the big sign was there. And the House of Pies, they were one of the first to have all these pies and a coffee shop. It was similar to what Marie Callender's became, or there's a number of pie places like that. Polly's Pies is another one out of Orange County. So they're opening up a new one, and hopefully the chain starts going back. Now, Texas has two or three House of Pies that aren't really part of the company, but they were an offshoot back in the day. So, and that's kind of what happened with Pioneer Chicken. We only have two left, and you kind of wonder, well, there's no chain left. How can they do it? But some way they are able to bypass the whole company because it's no longer around. So, but yeah, House of Pies is coming.
Might have been something in the franchise agreement. And the interesting thing about House of Pies in terms of that new location that you're talking about, George, it looks like it's going to be a crazy modern building, nothing like what the House of Pies locations look like that for those of us that have that age remember.
Right, yeah. I've seen some drawings of it, and it looks like almost like the Walt Disney Theater downtown L.A.,
Disney Hall, yeah.
Well,
it should be interesting. You know, one hopes that in addition to the striking design of the building, that the pies will be as wonderful as we remember, or at least made from quality ingredients all the way, and no preservatives and none of those other stuff in it. But to be continued. The nice thing, George, in terms of your book, is you only go up to 1966, which means there's a possibility for a part two. So
I really hope. In fact, when we started working on the book, I had my goal was 100 locations. Can I hit 100 locations? And I hit 120 that came out.
Oh, wow.
And they're all ones that everyone's heard of. But then the book does have old ones like Pup and Taco that haven't been around for years, and Noggles. We talk about those companies too. But I wanted at least 100, and when we were putting the book together, the publisher said, that's too big of a book. Why don't we do two volumes? Well, in the meantime, the publisher sold her publishing outfit, so I'm only under contract for this one. Hopefully, we will be getting a contract for 65 into today. But my next book coming out will be next year, and it's going to be a second version of L.A. Legendary Restaurant
Book. Yes. Again, another wonderful one in your collection. Well, George, hopefully we will talk before then. But for our audience, think of this for the holidays or that food lover that you know. It's a lot of fun. Made in California, the California-born burger joints, diners, fast food, and restaurants that changed America by George Geary. George, as always, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. Yes, when we return, it is my colleague, Chef Andrew Gruhl, for his Ask the Chef segment. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.